a soul level, you get connected to another person. And that's healthy. It happens all the time. You know, there are guys who have soul ties with other guys in the sense of, this is my buddy. This is my boy here. You know, we go back and you feel real close. And girls have that little click, you know, the Yapsons, Rogers, whatever they call it these days. It used to be just Yapsons, but Yapsingers. You know, and they have that little group that come together and they develop this tie with the girls. Hey, they get giddy and guys stand there like, I don't get it. But they, you know, that's a soul tie that's happening there. But when that crosses over between a male and a female, watch out. You can develop a closeness of relationship that could bring you to a place where you are courting and you don't even know it. And you start to give your heart. So there needs to be supervision. You know, if I saw my daughter spending a lot of time talking with one guy off on the side all the time, all the time, all the time, every Shabbat, they're just off on the side talking, away from everybody else, I'm going to ask her, what's going on there? He's just a friend. Well, you spend a lot of time with that guy, friend. What do you mean he's just a friend? And especially if he's calling the house and late night talking to 3 o'clock in the morning, talking about nothing. Or even talking about spiritual things, but getting very intimate about spiritual things. Be careful. Even in the counseling situation, though sometimes we are limited and a man has to counsel women, sometimes women have to counsel men, we try to quickly, if there's a guy that needs counseling, we try to move him to a guy. Now, if they're not available, you know, we'll pick one of the women counselors, hey, work with this person because we don't have enough people. And if a girl needs counseling, there are times I'll give advice, give input. I have friendship with a lot of ladies in this congregation. They're my friends. But it's not done in the dark. It's not done in the secret. And it's done as a pastoral relationship. But it's done in the open, and it's kept in the open. And I keep it in the open for good reason. Not because I'm thinking I'm going to stumble and fall, but because the scripture warns us about thinking you can stand, and the next thing you know, you're on your face. Because you just tempted. So you use wisdom. And so I tried, if a counseling gets so at a level of starting to enter intimacy, I'm going to quickly shift it over to a woman. Or bring my wife alongside. We got to work with this girl. She needs help. But I try to get them over to a girl right away. That's just my part. But if Crystal needs deep counseling, I find her. Monique, can you work with Crystal? This is what I try to do. Not that I'm at the point where I can answer your questions. No, I answer questions. You know, I don't have a problem, but I keep a check. I have men who check on me. What are you doing? Who are you counseling? Who are you working with? What's the relationship there? And if they think it's getting too far, they'll warn me. Say, you need to step back a little bit. You could be setting up something. I have to be discerning about how people are looking at me. If I'm ministering to a young lady, I have to keep my eyes open. Is she becoming enamored? It can happen. Not that I think I'm the greatest guy that earth. Yeshua was the greatest guy. I'm second. Okay. Just want to let you know that right away. Sandra had to settle for second best, but that's okay. But I'll tell you a true story. Years ago, there was a lady that came to the congregation, and she was a cute little girl that came, and she would listen to the message, and she would run up, and she would be all up in my face. And it wasn't just listening for knowledge. You could tell. I mean, come on, we're grown up. We know. You know when somebody likes you, they act a certain way. And she just kept pressing in. And I remember the day that she just kept, I was stepping back, and she was moving forward. And I looked for Sandra, and I looked there, and Koda, I get over here now. Right now. And she came over and came under, and I got my arm around. This is my wife. Here we go. And I just want to share. And what was it that you were asking me? And suddenly it's funny how she got quiet. She had anything else to say. And she left. She never showed up at the congregation again. What mission was she on? What mission was she on? Who sent her? Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my wife. So you got to be careful of the ties on an emotional level. You know, you get into the place where you're counseling another guy or a guy's counseling women, you're spending a lot of time like that, you need to start with, okay, am I okay? Am I check? Am I all right? And then you feel your heart going. When you find yourself desiring, this is one of the checks. Let's say you're a guy, and you're talking. You find yourself just can't wait to hear that girl. You can just talk to her on the phone. And you're trying to say, oh, it's just friendship. Something else is already going on. And I didn't even say whether she was married or not. Oh, I just can't wait till that little married girl calls me. I'm going to minister to her. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there's this one guy who shared, if I have any more questions after this, we'll end with this, unless it's really a burning question. There's a set of tapes about betrothal and courtship, and this guy shared one I thought was so great. He says, true story of what happened. He said, there was this pastor who had been preaching and teaching, and after the message was over, that one of this lady in his congregation came up to him and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. He said, okay. So he went over to his office. He sat down, and she sat down across the office. He says, okay. And then she said that, well, Pastor, I just want to say to you that I think you're a great man of God, and I love you. He says, well, praise God, I love you too. You know, we all love the Lord here. I love you. She says, no, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I love you. And he says, well, yes, we, you know, and Messiah, there's a love that's released into our hearts, and we have a love that shows the witness of God inside of us. And she says, no, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I love you. And he went, you mean love me is what you mean. Yes, I just want to be with you and everything. And he went, one second. He got up. I'll be right back. Went back, got his wife, brought his wife in, set his wife down. He says, now turn to the girl. Now tell me what you just told me. Oh, Pastor, I can't do it. No, 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 yes, you can. Tell me what you can just told me again. No, no, Pastor, I can't do it. No, no, come on, get it out. I told your husband that I loved him. And the wife says, you mean love? Like, yeah. And so the guy says, well, you know, now with that, I think I'll excuse myself and leave you two ladies to talk to each other. And walked out. I wish he had finished the story because I like to hear what the rest of it, what happened with it, you know? See, the scripture says, I give you a helpmate. One of the words for helper, compatible to you, means to surround the man. Your wife, men, your wife protects you. From the attacks that some women may plan. And she needs you to come alongside to keep you safe. She needs to be there with you. So be aware of that. Okay, are there any other burning questions? Because I know it's time to eat, and it's late, and the food's there, and the Lord's table's waiting on us. But any more burning questions? Because from here, you can always come and talk to me one-on-one on anything. But hopefully from here we will move on back to the book of Acts. And yes, get back to the book of Acts and working through that. And of course, we're also coming up on the High Holy Day, so we're going to be focusing on some of those things as well. Any burning questions, it's okay. If I don't feel I can answer it, I won't answer it. Yes. Is it, you know, if it's God's will for you to be married, why is it you haven't found a person you're supposed to marry yet? Well, the first question, is it God's will for you to marry? And as a general rule, yes. Yes, it's God's will for you to be married because that's the way he designed it. The question is to really look at that and ask yourself, has God called you to a place to not be married? And sometimes people don't consider that. Sometimes people put their desire to be married, it's got to be the will of God. As opposed to really going before God and say, God, are you calling me to be married? Now, if you really believe it's the will of God for you to be married, and it hasn't happened yet, trust God. Don't put a time restraint on the Lord. There are people who can give testimony who wanted to be married, and they waited for years and years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and they're like, what's going on? And then God got them to get married later in life, and they have a beautiful marriage, and God's doing wonderful things through them. So it comes back down and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Secondly, the scripture says, seek the kingdom first and its righteousness. And so no matter what we may desire, we should always seek the kingdom first and its righteousness. And everything else we release over to God. Say, look, God, you know I want to be married. I believe it's your will for me to be married. You haven't shown me anything else that I should not be married. In the meantime, I'm going to continue to work to be prepared to be the best wife ever when you bring that person to me. And then number two, in the meantime, Lord God, give me some kingdom work to do. And get me out there. Because your man, and I can say your man, if God's designed it, your man might be out there. He may not be here. But he may be out there. And I don't mean out there like he out there. I mean out there in the sense that he's busy in the kingdom doing a certain something. And then you get before God and say, God, what are you calling me to do? And God says, I want you to get involved in this work, in this ministry. I've known people who've been called a certain mission work. And they get there, and there their husband was all along waiting on them. Showed up at the work, showed up in Africa to do ministry, and God goes, here he is. I've been preserving him all these years, just wondering, waiting for you to come. Just waiting for you to get here, but you've been so busy at home going, where my husband, Lord, where my husband? God says, I got kingdom work for you to do. Yeah, I know, but I can't do that kingdom work till I find my husband. I got to find my husband. Go pursue the kingdom. And if by chance you pursue that kingdom, and at the end of it, the husband's never there. So what? You pursue the kingdom and its righteousness first, which is what's eternal and forever. Trust him. He knows your heart. He knows where you are, and he's ready. Seek the kingdom. Yes, sister. All the things we talked about before. I mean, we talked about, you didn't hear all the teachings that went before, but all the practical things, you get a testimony in your spirit. Scripture says God's spirit bears witness to your spirit. You'll know on the spirit that God is leading that person to you. That person will be able to do it. Other people will be able to confirm the word. You go to God and say, God, confirm the word. I need to know. Yes, through prayer. You're seeking the faith. You think your Heavenly Father is going to play games with you? You know, if you go to your Heavenly Father, it's like, God, if two people thinking, we don't know if we're called to be married or not, let's go before our Heavenly Father and ask him. You think he's going to sit there and say, I ain't going to tell you. You just got to figure it out for yourself. No, God's not like that. You go sincerely before him and say, God, I need to know. Is this the man for me? He's going to tell you. And if he doesn't tell you directly, he'll give it to you from somebody else prophetically. He'll show it to you, and then he'll confirm it in your own heart that you know that's the will of God. Got to trust the Lord. He's not one that's going to turn his back on you. He's ready to tell you what you need to know. You just got to seek his face, and he will give you the answer. Yes, anybody can. I can go to the, I can see two people thinking about, and I have. I've heard of different people thinking about matching up, and I start praying for them. Y'all don't know how to do that, but I do. You know, if I hear that a certain tall midshipman guy once desiring to be a merchant marine is interested in this beautiful flutist, and I hear that there might be something there. Oh, boy, I was on my knees. Oh, God, what's going on? Please show me. And he did, and he got me in the midst of it, and now we got a betrothed couple here that are looking to be married in a year. So, yes, the parents can go in on behalf and pray, but the decision still remains with the people, and you just have to pray that God reveals it to them. Oh, yes, Jesus. It scares me sometimes people say that. I've heard people say that. Well, I'm married to Jesus. Well, we all are. If you really want to, well, technically, no, we're not. We're all betrothed to him. We're all betrothed to Jesus because he's coming back to complete the marriage. So, you know, you don't got one out over me. I'm married to Jesus. Well, so am I. So what are you going to do with that? Because I'm in the body of Messiah, and he's not married to an individual. He's married to a bride, and it's the whole body, and that's the relationship. People who say that are sometimes making an excuse for not being under any authority and power usually. You see that angle with them too. They will not submit to any authority, not only a man to be married to, but any authority anywhere. They have issues with that. And they just kind of give an excuse as to why they can go do whatever they want to do and no one to hold them accountable to what they're doing. That's the other part that you normally see. There may be some exceptions, but that's normally what you see in my experience. That people have that attitude, they don't want to be submitted to anyone or anything. I'm married to Jesus. Nobody can tell me what to do. Really, I thought Jesus says you're supposed to be in a body, that there's a structure to that body, there's leaders and the deacons, the elders, there are all types of people that God puts in the body. Oh, Really? It says in Hebrews, obey those who have the rule over you, for they watch after your soul. What about that? Are you listening to the Jesus you say you're married to? Or are you in rebellion with him? So that's usually the challenge. Help people with that to say, look, we all are married to him. We're betrothed to him in the larger body of Messiah. But, you know, you really need to pray that God give you opportunity to really get underneath what's going on in that person. I think most of the time, in my experience, you find somebody who's hurt. They've been hurt. Men have hurt them, really. Because usually you find women who say that. Very rarely we find a man to do that. Now, some people are called to remain unmarried. They don't, but those who are called that way, they don't put it that way. They say, I'm called to be unmarried for the kingdom. And then they go about serving God. Different story. Yes. Stanley. 1 second, Stan. Can we bring the elements of the Lord's table front, please? Go ahead. Okay. Good question. Two people who are not married, where do they draw the line? How far can they go? Look, the scriptures, we've talked about this already. The scriptures say over and over again, it warns a man not to touch a woman. We talk about the danger of touch. We talk about what touching can do. Women do respond to touch. Men a lot of times respond to what they see. So you need to be careful how you touch and which way you touch. Men know. Men who are not dumb know that they can touch a girl in a certain way and cause certain things to happen. So it's best to maintain that distance. It's best to maintain not giving yourself in that way, because when you begin to touch in that way, you are establishing a intimacy that you don't have a legal right to fulfill. Put the ringy on the thingy. Then you can have a legal right to touch all you want to. Put the dragging her son in here. Put the ring on the finger. Then you have a right to touch all you want to once those vows have been committed and you are one flesh. When you are not one flesh and you're touching somebody you're not married to, you're messing around with somebody else's future flesh that you haven't married, that belongs to them, and you're messing around with it. Do you get that? It's important that we get that. Someday, Crystal is going to marry somebody. Someday, we hope, unless God shows it differently. And for anybody to try to be intimate with her on any level and get her all stirred up now, they are defrauding her. They're defrauding her future husband. And so it's best to keep the relationship on a level of purity and keep a distance. Now, I know that's hard in our culture because certain things are allowed, certain things, you know, holding hands, this, that, and the other, and people do different things, and it's hard. I encourage you to try to avoid holding hands. Keep that distance. Do the old way. You know, it varies from time to time in culture. There was a time that it was, to be a gentleman, it was right to escort a young lady. Even if she was not married to you, you could put your arm out and you could escort her across the street. You could open up doors for her. I think all those things are wonderful. But it's done in such a way to keep a certain sense of purity relationship. But be careful of getting intimate, especially in the area of kissing. Kissing is a very intimate thing. I know the scripture says to greet one another with a kiss. And in Eastern culture, they still do that. Men kiss each other. So if you want to say, look, hey, listen, Pastor, if you're a guy and you're saying to me, the scriptures say that greet one another with a holy kiss, that's all I want to do with her. I say, okay, well, you prove to me that you really want to do that by first greeting Adam with a kiss. Hey, don't fight me on that. When you get to the point that you feel free to greet Adam with a kiss, I might be able to consider that your motives are pure. And when you greet that sister, you go, hey, and give her a kiss on the cheek. I mean, people do kiss to anything. I hope James don't beat me up, but Linda's kissed me on the cheek before. Now, she's a mom to me. I've known her for a long time, and she's been like a mother to me. And she's come up, Pastor, and give a kiss on the cheek. You know, James didn't pull out, come on, come on now. How dare you? It all depends on the heart and the relationship and what's going on, part of the culture and the relationship that's there. We want to be legalistic about it, but we do want to be wise about it. And look, let's just be real. If you're a guy and you know you're pursuing a girl for marriage and you want to kiss her on the cheek, you're not thinking about a friendship kiss. Come on. Let's be real. Let's just be honest. Come on. A guy, I'm talking about picking on Crystal today, but a guy is trying to court her and walks her back from it's late at night. He's going to be the gentleman. I'm going to, you know, it's dark. The campus is dangerous, and it can be. I'll make sure you're safe. That's an honorable thing. He should do that, right, Hilton? They shouldn't let your daughter just walk on campus unsafe. You know, Hilton says she should call me. I'll be there. I escort her back at night. But he should be able to say, "Well, let me just make sure you're safe. Get her back to the door," and then gets at the end. And says, "Well, let me give you a kiss." No, you come on. They got looking like, "Come on, be real. You know what? I don't know what the Bible says. Greet one another with a holy kiss." I'm not saying anything about saying goodbye with a holy kiss. What are you trying to say? Be real. Be honest. Let's be honest about it. We know when we're doing with a pure heart and we have other motives. That's what you should challenge yourself with. Look at your heart. See where you really are with what you're doing. And be honest with yourself. I mean, God knows already. I may not know. You can trick me. But you can't trick God. He knows. He knows exactly why you're doing what you're doing. And so be real. Come out and just say, okay, God, you got me. You got me. I'm going to step back and leave some purity. Okay? Amen. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.